Our gospel lesson today is from Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Like most of you, I was stuck in front of the television on Wednesday, watching the attack on our Capitol and the aftermath of that horror. I've tried to watch and read widely across different sources to see what happened and what kind of response there is to this attack. I was saddened to see it was a coordinated effort with multiple bombs and weapons and people reaching the far corners of the Capitol building. It was heart-wrenching to see a noose, Confederate flags, to see the American flag pulled down, and many flags with Jesus' name on them carried by rioters. Like most of us, I was hoping this was just a few bad apples in the bunch of peaceful protesters, but now it seems that much of it was planned, and much of it was encouraged by leaders in our own country. On our Presbytery's pastor call this week, we talked about a phrase that was repeated over and over on television, especially by the lawmakers that night after the attack and the commentators in the news. The phrase is, "This is not who we are." And by that, people mean that we are Americans and this is not how we behave. But what if that's not true? I want to suggest a different view on that as Christ followers. As people who follow Jesus Christ, this is who we are. We are all broken, sinful people. We are all people who have some of the anger and hatred, prejudice, tribalism, and pride that we saw on display on Wednesday. And even if we don't act on any violent tendencies, we do have those broken places inside where that can grow. Presbyterians don't like to talk about our sinful tendencies or the brokenness that lead to deplorable behavior. We emphasize grace and forgiveness. We emphasize the good news, right? But the truth is, the good news is only meaningful after we hear the bad news. And the bad news is, we are all broken and sinful. The grace of Jesus Christ is so powerful because we need it so badly. There's a reason that Jesus encouraged us to not judge the speck in our neighbor's eye. Why? Because we have a plank in our own eye. It's so easy for us to put people in categories like us versus them and think we could never be like them. But we are all people in need of a Savior. Now, does this mean we cannot condemn unjust and deplorable behavior? No, we must stand up for justice and righteousness precisely because we are God's people. We are Christ followers. We are called to a higher standard. But when we condemn that which is wrong, we do it from a place of humility. We have the attitude that there but for the grace of God go I. We follow our Savior's example of humility in all situations and circumstance. I love what pastor and author Barbara Brown Taylor said about this. She said, "We spend a lot of time in the Christian church talking about God's love for sinners, But we sure do go to a lot of trouble not to be mistaken for one of them. You know, guilt by association and all that. Only Jesus, our Lord and leader, did not seem too concerned about that. Sometimes we are afraid of being mistaken for one of them, one of the sinners in the world, when in reality we are the sinners in the world. But Jesus didn't mind being associated with sinners at all. He walked right on down into that Jordan River, right along with all the sinners. He didn't care if people thought he was just like the rest. He came to the water to show that he was with them, and he went into the water knowing that he would soon take on all the sin for them. Philippians 2 describes Jesus' attitude. Paul says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." The acknowledgement of our sinfulness is where the ministry of John the Baptist is so important. His ministry of confession and repentance, of owning up to who you are and what you've done. John the Baptist was the one preparing the way for Jesus, the voice crying out in the wilderness, precisely because he was reminding people of their brokenness and sinfulness. Remember what kind of baptism he offered? A baptism of repentance. And repentance requires honesty, self-reflection, confession of sin. John the Baptist pointed people to the bad news, if you will, all so they could receive the good news of forgiveness and grace, all so they could ultimately receive the good news incarnate, God with us, our Savior Jesus. It's easy for us to think that John the Baptist is a side character in the story of Jesus and in his baptism, but isn't he really central to the coming of salvation in Jesus? He looks like Elijah the prophet. He's preaching out in the wilderness. Reminds us of the wilderness where the Israelites wandered for 40 years after the Exodus from Egypt. He is preparing people for Jesus' arrival, just like the wilderness time prepared the people to enter the promised land. And he's baptizing in the Jordan River, that river that they had to cross before entering the promised land. John's message of confession and repentance is him holding up a mirror to the people so they can see who they really are and how much they really need God. Have you ever felt the need to confess something to someone else? Isn't that a real human need? That longing to confess, to be real, to be honest, and to have someone hear your confession? The Catholic Church has known this for centuries. We Protestants sometimes think we don't need this. But isn't confession important for all of us? This is why we have a corporate prayer of confession each week in worship, because we are broken people who need to see who we really are before we can truly understand and appreciate the grace of Christ. And John the Baptist uses that need to confess in order to draw people to his ministry. People literally flock to him and his message because he's offering them a new life, a baptism of repentance. But John also acknowledges that there is someone greater than himself who will offer an even more powerful baptism, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people have wondered and debated why Jesus would come to John for baptism. Why would Jesus need a baptism of repentance? Wasn't he a perfect human being, God in the flesh? But what if that's not the point of this story? It is in baptism that we learn who Jesus really is. When that dove descends upon him and the voice from heaven speaks, it is to identify Jesus as the Son of God. Just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Jesus coming to John for baptism is his way of being identified. But it's also his show of solidarity with all of us sinners. And it's a new beginning for Jesus. He would leave this experience to be tempted in the desert and then begin his official ministry of teaching, preaching, and healing. Jesus' baptism is such good news for us because we are sinners in need of God's cleansing grace. And Jesus has gone before us into the water to prove he is with us, he is one of us, and he will take on all of our sin for us. In baptism, we discover that Jesus is our Savior, the Son of God. And oh, how we need his amazing grace. We each have sin and brokenness in our hearts and minds. It may not be a crime or something so blatant. It might be the little things we've done or failed to get done. The way we've been meaning to call a friend in need and have yet to pick up the phone, or how we've been nagging our spouse or yelling at the kids or ignoring a neighbor or belittling someone. It's the way we cannot forgive, or we always complain. The way we criticize instead of praise. It's the way we fail to say thank you or reserve judgment. The times we feel led to pray and ignore it, or all the times we've seen our Bible and left it closed. It's the way we can't let go of a grudge, how we must be right, how we lie about what we've done and what we want, how we punish other people for not reading our minds, how we swell with pride and say, at least I'm not like that, when in reality we know that those things that drive us most crazy in other people are often our very own worst faults. We are sinners in need of God's grace. And because Jesus has gone before us, we can receive new life in the waters of baptism. We can receive God's amazing grace through Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a signpost pointing the way to Jesus and to the grace we all so desperately need. And Jesus was baptized as our example, our model. In his baptism, he entered the darkness of sin and brought us life and light. He showed us the first step into new life. So today we remember John the Baptist and Jesus coming for baptism. And we remember our own baptism and the significance of being washed in the water and given God's grace and new life. Friends, today we are reminded of who we are, of all the bad news, so that we might truly receive and understand the grace and good news of Jesus Christ. And for that gift, all God's people say, Amen.